Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, the latest statistics show that about 80%, 90% of Australians still believe in some god. It might be a personal god, it might be some sort of ethereal force out there. But still, there's a lot of us who actually believe in God. But ask those same people if God speaks to them personally, well, that's another matter altogether. Many people, even devout believers actually, struggle to think that a supernatural being would condescend to talk to human beings in a personal way. Becky Tirabassi believes he does speak in a personal way. In fact, when she was a young addict, suicidal, at the end of her tether, it was the voice of God speaking personally to her that turned everything around, and she's been trying to listen to him every day since. She is the author of the book Let God Talk to You, and she's with us now. Becky Tirabassi, welcome to Open House.
Well, thank you for having me. I wish I was actually in Australia with you.
Well, that can be the next conversation, hey?
Yeah.
come round to our place and we'll do you a Barbie.
I'll take you up on that.
I bet you will. Hope you do. Well, I really want to get to that amazing story of how you first heard God's voice, but we'll leave that just for a few moments because we've got to, I guess, lay some groundwork for this whole conversation of hearing God speak to us. There's some ideas out there that God only speaks to the really devout or to the spiritual leaders, to those kinds of things. Do you believe, really, in your heart, that he speaks to everybody and anybody?
I do, primarily because I was desperate. I had gotten myself into so much trouble as a young woman, and I did what many people do. They chase after something to find, you know, fulfillment or happiness or security, and I got into drugs and alcohol and all those things, and I not only couldn't find it, but I was, you know, came to a very suicidal endpoint. And I think God talks to the desperate. I got an impression, you know, kind of drive from the court hearing you're at to another place, and someone will be there to talk to you. As you mentioned, we'll tell that story later, but there was that moment where I needed someone outside of me to help, and I got help by calling, you know, on God's name. So if he'll talk to the desperate, then he'll talk to anyone, I'm sure of it.
In fact, that's probably even a bit of a prerequisite to some degree, isn't it? The more desperate you are, I think, the more attentive he is.
And that's what happens. Some of us forget how much we need him or how personal he is, and we lose our desperation and our humility, and all of a sudden we, you know, kind of chase something else and get proud, possibly. So I think humility, desperation, two great qualities of a listening person.
Yeah. Becky, some people still struggle to think, though, that the God of the universe would bother to talk to human beings at all. Why do you think God even wants to talk to us?
Well, I think because he loves us. And that, again, might sound a little strange, but I am convinced that God is a personal God. And having heard that as a young child, I really did get a picture that God sent his son Jesus to this earth. So there was this picture of a person, a shepherd, a carpenter, a guy who, you know, there was a lot of action around him, a person who loved the unlovely, was wise and miraculous, actually. So I look and listen for God to be that personal and active and convincing and encouraging and motivating to, you know, go here, go there, try this. Don't do that.
It makes sense also if you take into account the Bible's idea that God made us as people in his image, that he made us to relate to us, that we could relate to him. It seems a bit strange that he wouldn't speak to us, doesn't it? He kind of make us and then let us go on our way on the earth and never actually have anything to say to us ever after.
It clearly seems his mode of communication, to talk to us as we talk to each other in conversation with familiar voice. And in fact, you know, the Bible is a record of conversation he had with people over time and history. So to even look at those conversations and begin to sense, do I hear a similar voice in my heart? I wouldn't say audible. I've never heard an audible voice, but I've heard impressions and thoughts that line up with the way he's communicated to others in the past.
Mm. Actually, you mentioned a few stories of those people in the past who actually have heard God's voice. People like George Mueller, who cared for thousands and thousands of orphans, and he did it simply by faith, didn't he? He just prayed, he listened as best as he could to what he believed God was actually calling him to do, and then he simply looked after these orphans in the UK with little resources at all.
Well, I tell a lot of stories by dead people because they're so simple. They simply had to bow their knee and say, I've got hungry children who need a home and food tonight. God, will you answer this prayer? And story after story, I have his life story, which is now, 150 years old, had people bringing food or envelopes with money in it to his doorstep on at a meal time when there was absolutely no food in the cupboard. And that does build a person's faith. It takes out the luck and chance and coincidence when you ask God. And this is a great idea, to ask God a question and wait for him to answer. When he does, you simply have to say, whoa, no one knew I asked that question. I didn't tell anybody. It's really a relationship God wants to have with us.
Mm. This is Open House Across the Nation. Becky Tirabassi is the author of Let God Talk to You. We're talking about this whole idea of God actually speaking to us and us being in a position to actually listen and hear what he has to say. Theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. Okay, Becky, I want to hear that story now. Here you were, it was some years ago, you were an addict, you're addicted actually to drugs, alcohol, a number of other things too. You're at a suicidal point. Now tell me the story from that point on.
Well, I had gotten into trouble. I drink so much every day, and I am the child of an alcoholic, but you don't think at 21 you're going to be an alcoholic. But I was a hard, hard partier, and I ended up in bed with somebody I didn't know, and I was living with someone else, and when I woke up, I thought, you know what you call people like this? I actually had to call myself an alcoholic, and at that point I was just desperate. I didn't know if I was pregnant or by whom. I didn't know how to tell my boyfriend. On top of all that, when I got home after this wedding that I went to, I had a subpoena to appear at a court hearing for a car accident I'd been in a year earlier while drinking. And I just thought, you know, my life has collapsed. There are no more days. I want out. I don't know what I can do next. And the lawyer took me a lawyer, because that's what car insurance companies do. They hire you a lawyer. And he took me by the elbow and he said, if you lie, you'll be crucified on the stand. And I was so far from God at that point in my life that the word crucified is what stuck out to me, because I'd only heard of one person who'd ever died by crucifixion. And that was Jesus. And at that point, I everything kind of fell off of my shoulders, and all this horrendous guilt and shame, and I thought, I've got to find God. And it's interesting, because I drove from the court hearing to a church, and nobody was there except the janitor. And when I walked in the door, you know, I'm crying, and I don't know what to say or do, and he just said, you know, why don't you just ask God to come into your heart? And I thought, wow. Is it that simple?
What a concept.
And I just said a simple little prayer, you know, God, come into my heart, you know. It was that simple, and forgive me. And he said, if you can think of anything you've done wrong, you know, name it. And I probably was there for another 10 minutes just listing everything. Yeah. And yet it felt like all this shame and guilt was going away, not because I deserved it or I had earned it, but because God loved me. And I knew I wasn't lovable. And I knew no one, if you'd lined them up, pastor or a parent or a friend or a professor, no one loved me. I was a liar and a cheat and disgusting to myself. So this feeling was also kind of like a wave of emotion, but I knew as I followed this janitor's little prayer to invite the Holy Spirit into my life, and I knew the Holy Spirit was part of God. I didn't understand all of who God was at that point. But by inviting the Holy Spirit into my life, I felt this peace and this comfort, which an addict does not have.
Mm.
The suicidal thoughts were gone, and even the desire to drink was gone. And I immediately, and this is why I think I keep telling this story, I immediately changed. I could look at my friends right in the face and say, I'm not doing that anymore. I can't go that place anymore. I'm going to follow God. And they looked at me like, whoa, you've had a nervous breakdown. I'm like, well, it feels good. I don't know. And I just was passionate about God, and mostly because he loved me. That was it.
Yeah.
It wasn't I had done anything for him. It was I understood what he did for me. And boy, when you're loved and you didn't deserve it, it can last a long time, and I've been lasting for 33 years.
Yeah, what a beautiful story, Becky. Just an absolutely beautiful story. And specifically, at what point during that whole experience did you hear God's voice?
I think it was really the janitor talking to me and saying the words. You know, God loves you just the way you are.
And you heard beyond his words, you actually heard a heavenly voice saying those words through him.
I think I believed him. You know, he began to say what Bible verses say, and I always laugh. I say, you know, when people can tell you what the Bible says without opening it, they're really connected. And he just said, you know, when you become a believer, you become a brand new person inside. And I often say, you know, the good news is good news when you're desperate. I was so desperate to be brand new, and he gave me a Bible verse that said, this prayer assures you of brand newness. And I literally walked out of that little janitor's corner closet of this place. I drove back to work, and I worked at a car dealership, and I told everybody that God loved me and I was going to heaven. And they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, yeah. The janitor told me, and they looked at me like, what planet are you from?
And who's this janitor?
An experience with God imprints your life, and it's as if you hear him say, no more. You don't have to do this anymore. I will love you forever. I will walk with you forever. I have someone who will love you. Just follow me. Come with me. And that's why I always picture, you know, kind of Jesus, the shepherd carpenter, because everything was action. You know, come here, let's go there, watch out, this is going to happen over here. And I live in that place of walk with Jesus and look out, something fun's going to happen, exciting.
Yeah. Becky Tirabassi is our guest on Open House tonight. We're talking about hearing God's voice, and you've just heard a beautiful story, just wonderful story of transformation, which leads us nicely to this next topic of just how God might speak to us, what kind of media he might actually use to get his voice through to us. And he spoke through that janitor to you. Let's list some of the other ways in which God would speak to us, how he actually does it. Now, we've spoken to Mark Driscoll before, the pastor of Mars Hill Bible Church over in Seattle, and he says he actually heard an audible voice call him to start a church. Now, very few people would actually say that they've had that kind of experience. You said at the outset of this interview, you haven't had that experience. I certainly haven't. How does God speak to us? What does he use?
Well, I don't think it's mystical or magical at all. For starters, the Bible is his word. It's his voice. It's recorded, written. The Psalms are written prayers. So they're conversations between God and people who pray. So they're kind of templates on how to communicate with God. Then there are numerous other stories of people who talk to God in the Bible. And I read the Bible every day to hear his voice. Mm. So I open it. I say, you know, speak to me, Lord. I've had a really strong thought, one as I was rolling through a stop sign almost recently. The thought was, look left. It was just a thought, look left. There was a motorcycle policeman looking right at me, and I waved to him. I'm like, oh, man, that was not my thought. I knew it wasn't. That thought was to protect me. That thought was to get my attention. So those are the kind of experiences with God. You can hear him on your radio show. I would say, you know, someone listening to this interview is going to hear God's voice say something like, that's you, isn't it? You can say that prayer, and I'm right here for you. So it kind of falls together like a counselor might speak to you, familiar, a trusted, loving friend or teacher. Mm.
I think because as you mentioned there, the Bible really is the kind of essential way that God speaks to us, but he does actually speak to us in terms of thoughts and impressions and inner feelings, very strong inner feelings. Of course, that leads to the whole question, well, how do I know that it's God and it's not just my own wishful thinking? What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think you have to test it. You know, one of the things you can't be when it comes to God's voice is impulsive. You have to say, wow, I think that's God saying, you know, it's time to leave this job and go to another job. Well, that could take months to really confirm this is God's voice, this is God's plan. It lines up with the Bible. It lines up with the impressions the Holy Spirit gives you. And if you're, in a church setting, then you'll hear God through different pastors and verses kind of confirm what you've heard him say when you think or feel you're hearing him. My husband's a pastor. He'll always say, now, Becky, don't tell people God told you. Tell people you think God told you. Mm-hmm. You could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. You know, there's a sense of, you don't have to be dramatic about it, but it's a thought and feeling. This is where I think God's taking me.
I think I've also learned over the years, too, a little bit less time than you walking with God. It's about 15, 16 years for me. But I think there's a quality of the tone of voice that you hear as well when it's actually God. It's not compulsive. It's not anxious. It may well be convicting. You know, God might be pointing his finger at something that he wants you to change. And yet there's always a kind of a ground, foundational peacefulness about the tone of the voice that you hear.
Absolutely. And for many of us who live in frantic, chaotic worlds, lives, noisiness, it's really great, which is something I began to do shortly after my sobriety and starting, you know, my new life with God, to just set aside time every day to be alone with God. And I don't like to be alone in general, but you're not alone when you're alone with God. You're with God. And as I read my Bible and I write down all my prayers I have for 25 years, I really get a conversation going. So it's very kind of, well, conversational. And I feel like that as well begins to set the tone of this is God's voice to me, this is how we communicate, this is what he's saying. And then when I'm not in that quiet time, his voice can come through and catch my attention.
Tell me a little bit more about that time that you have with God every day. Just how do you structure it? What do you do? And tell me a little bit more about this conversational prayer writing that you've been talking about.
Yeah, I'm a bit radical when it comes to that. I love you know, if you could be an Olympic athlete and love Jesus, I have that kind of passion toward him. So I made a decision, and it was just simple, to spend 1 hour a day with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that by writing so that I don't daydream or fall asleep or start, you know, cell phoning people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just so quickly forget what you're doing when you close your eyes and pray, you could fall asleep. So by writing, I have this eye contact almost, this attention where I follow a little pattern of telling God how great I think he is every day, and then I tell him where I know I'm missing the mark, falling short, needing his help, asking him what I would call requesting of him to be with people who are sick. I pray for a lot of sick people because I believe God heals, and I don't know when and I don't know how, but I know that everything I've read on prayer, and I've read a number of books, our prayers for other people make a difference. And I don't want to be negligent. I want to be on top of that. I want to be all over that because I know a lot of people who need him. So I pray for other people, and then I thank him every day for something I know that he's done or where I've seen his hand in my life. And then I listen. I open my Bible, and I read from the New Testament, Old Testament, Proverbs, and Psalm every day so that in a year, I complete the Bible every year. I use a 365-day Bible, and after 20 years, again, you really recognize his voice.
Now, and tell me about the conversational aspect, though, when you're writing down your prayers. So you write down your prayers, and then you write what you feel God is saying back?
Yes, I do. Believe it or not, I have this little listening section, and my husband always says, be sure you write down, Dear Becky, I love you, every day. And it's this familiar place, but often I do, and you mentioned it earlier, I do get convicted of don't be so anxious, don't be afraid. And sometimes, and very often, I guess I have to be honest, God says no. You know, it's not like God says yes all the time to me or to anyone. It's a two-way conversation that is similar, I'd guess, to marriage, where my husband and I go to dinner every night and I don't say give me this. We talk about what are the struggles today and how can they be resolved. And it's similar to that. It's a conversation to find an answer together.
Becky, this is asking a very, very personal question, but can you share some sort of concrete answer from God recently, or some sort of time recently of when you felt God did actually speak to you, and just what was happening, and what did he say?
Well, this one lasted over time. When I began to pray an hour a day, my son was 4. When my son was 28, which is just a few years ago, now I've prayed for my son's wife every day for 24 years.
Uh-huh.
And I really figured, I'm going to know this girl when I see her. But I hadn't met her yet, and he was getting older, and I went to coffee with all these college kids, and there was this girl sitting at the end of the table, and she said, "Oh, I play soccer." I said, "Soccer? My son plays soccer like 7 days a week." I said, "Can I give you my son's phone number? And if you text message him, he'll show up at that soccer game, I promise you." And he did. He didn't even need to see her face. He just showed up to play soccer. And the next Friday, she text messaged him again, and he showed up for soccer. And 1 year later, they were married.
Is that right?
And I remember the day, probably about 8 months later, I was sitting next to her, and I showed her the page that I had prayed for my son's wife every day for all these years. And as I was handing it to her, my hand was just shaking, and I thought, "I know you're the one." And she took it, and she just looked at me. We got little tears in our eyes and didn't say anything because my son hadn't asked her to marry him yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that sense of, I prayed a long time for the girl that would marry my son. I call her Mini-Me. I like her so much. I like her more than him sometimes. Anyway,
oh, what a great story.
She's lovely. She's athletic and fun and loves God. And you know, yeah, she wants to be a missionary, and so does he. So, you know.
So it all fell into place as well. You also have a really lovely story in the book about the day your father died and the Bible passage that you read on that particular day. You didn't go searching for it. It was another way in which God spoke to you, this time using a particular passage of Scripture.
Well, this is kind of cool. I use this 365-day Bible, but so does my husband, and so does my mother, and so do, you know, lots of people. But on the day my father died, I'd been at the hospital all day. I hadn't even had my appointment with God, is what I like to call it. And he called me, and he said, "Did you hear God's voice today?" And I said, what do you mean? He said, "Today's New Testament reading, the last verse, you've got to read it." And of course I was going to, but I hadn't even been back home after 8 hours of being in a hospital with my family. So by the time I got back home, I opened my Bible, and it said, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
Mm.
And it was Jesus speaking. And I thought, you know, that was very comforting to a whole family that, you know, loved Dad and had lost him. And on that day, just like you said, I didn't look for it. It came to me. And that's how I think God speaks. He comes to you. He is there, and sometimes we just rush out the door and don't wait to hear him, or we don't want to listen, or we're afraid to hear what he has to say. But I don't know anybody that loves us more than God.
Becky Tirabassi is with us on Open House, theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. Becky, before we let you go, give us just some pointers. There'll be some folks listening who are saying, "Okay, I want in. I want a bit of that." Some pointers on what they can do from tomorrow morning on to start this kind of conversational relationship with God, that they actually hear from him, not just simply, you know, so to speak, throw words up in the air every morning in prayer. How do they start it?
Okay, I'm going to give you a couple easy things. The first one is roll out of bed and kneel. Just get on your knees and say a simple prayer, whatever you're comfortable with. Just say, "God, talk to me today. Help me today. Be near me today." Then get up and start to look and listen for him. Somewhere in the day, I would encourage your listeners to spend maybe 5 minutes in the Bible and start with the book of Psalms, which are prayers. And one of the theologians in America, Eugene Peterson, said that the Psalms are where most Christians for most centuries learn to pray.
Mm.
So that's a good starting place. Read one a day. It'll take you 150 days. And paraphrase them. Get a little journal, pad of paper, and rewrite every verse, Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, through 150, that kind of speaks to your heart, that connects with you, that could be words you would have written if you were able to write in such a, you know, kind of poetic or fabulous way. And then just write a little thank you note to God. You know, thank you for, and what you recognize him doing in your life. I know in my life I have the greatest husband, and I've been married over 30 years, I thank the Lord for him all the time. So I often thank God for a man that loves me and protects me and is such a great pastor to other pastors. And then I pray for other people. And if you have children, I'd get a little page and make a list of all the ways you can pray for that child and his or her friends and for protection in their life.
Great starting points. Becky, it's been so good to talk to you. Thanks so much for spending this last 25-odd minutes with us, because I think it's very, very valuable for so many of us. Thanks so much for your time and for listening.
Okay, I'm going to come live, though.
Okay, please.
I'm there.
You drop by live one day, and we will throw that barbecue for you. Okay.
Okay.
See you. Bye-bye. Becky Terabassi, author of Let God Speak to You. Isn't it a beautiful concept? Let God Talk to You, actually, it's called. Let God Talk to You. It's published out of Bethany House Books.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.